Despite our appalling record on species extinction, Australia is famous the world over for its diversity of flora and fauna. And another kind of diversity also puts us on the map.
Papgorok.
Myrna.
Before European contact, Australia was home to more than 250 distinct indigenous language groups, making it one of the most linguistically diverse areas in the world. And this year, NAIDOC is paying tribute to those languages with its theme of voice, treaty and truth. And Melbourne Museum has come to the table with its new exhibit called River of Language. Vicky Cousins is an artist and a Gunditj Mari Kire Woiwurrung woman from the Western Districts of Victoria. And Brendan Kennedy is an artist who was born at Robin Vale on Tati Tati country. He's also a descendant of the Tati Tati, Wadi Wadi and Mati Mati tribal lands and language groups. Welcome to you both. Good to have you in.
Great to be here.
Welcome in Indy.
Ah, which means?
Which means good to see you.
Oh, lovely. Thank you, Brendan. Vicky, I might ask you that little piece of part of the soundscape that you can hear in River of Language. Mm-hmm. What language group was it we were hearing there?
I did hear some words from my language, our language groups, the Kire Woiwurrung Gunditj Mari languages. But the River of Language is a mixture. So there's all the flow of different languages flowing through. So I didn't quite catch all of the others.
And there you go. That shows how distinct they are. For people who think that maybe, somehow Indigenous languages are homogenous, they are so not. Mm-hmm. How many languages from pre-European contact still remain alive?
Well, we don't consider that our languages aren't alive.
Okay.
Some of them might have been asleep for a while and we're reawakening them. So we're reawakening our Victorian Aboriginal languages back to living languages in our communities on country.
I don't want to sort of denounce them as being dead, but I guess what I'm worried about is that some of the old people who were the custodians of that language may not have passed on that language in time. And I think there are some languages at risk.
Absolutely.
Of disappearing, aren't they not?
Well, all Aboriginal languages in Australia are endangered. So, really want everyone to understand that. And that's why we should cherish and support Aboriginal languages. But, in Victoria we have very few speakers. Probably two or three languages have a couple of speakers. Maybe up your way there's a few more.
There are. Myself and a cousin of mine, Jason Kirby, he's a speaker of Wadi Wadi. I speak a mixture of Tari Tari, Lachi Lachi, Wadi Wadi, Mari Mari, but...
And what parts of Victoria is that,
that's
Brendan?
That's the northwest. So you're looking at Swan Hill, Robin Vale, Mildura,
right.
Balranald across the river into New South Wales. What we've been doing for the last sort of 100 years or so has been speaking a mixture of English and Aboriginal language. So we've maintained language, non-verbal language, but we just had to use English in order to sort of communicate in the mainstream, but using Aboriginal ways of doing that.
So, Brendan, how did you retain the language you have? How did that occur for you?
I've been very lucky. As I said, we've still been able to communicate in Aboriginal ways of using English, but hearing the old audio recordings that were recorded by a friend of mine, actually, a linguist who passed away, Dr. Louise Herkus.
Oh, really?
She travelled around Australia and recorded speakers back in the 1960s, and she used an old cassette recorder. So we're very lucky. A lot of us language groups do have the audio recording to hear the exact sounds and the way that our people spoke traditionally.
And Vicky, from your perspective, I take it you have language knowledge as well within your First Nations groups and language groups. Was that passed on from your mother and father's generation down, or did you learn it through school, or what other sources were there?
Yeah, no, the language use, like Brendan was saying, in community was still there in some words and in ways of communicating. For example, we have kinship terms, but we use English now, so a lot of people might hear Aboriginal people saying, "Hey, auntie," or "uncle," or "oh, that's my cousin, that's my cousin, that's my cousin."
Yes.
They're all our kinship terms, but we're only using English now, but it's an Aboriginal language way of being. So that's what kind of the things Brendan's meaning as well as some, you know, we have expressions and different ways of saying things. And Brendan talked about sign language as well. There's still a lot of that non-verbal communication that happens in our communities.
Which means, of course, as well, if you're going to make sure that that language is retained for forthcoming generations, not only do you need to record audio, but you need to film video too so that those signs are passed on. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what we're doing now is we're really a long-term campaign of reviving, revitalise our ancestral languages, or you can call it a heritage language, but also we want to also retain our Aboriginal English that our communities still communicate with. And that's actually at threat of being extinct also, because our children go to school and they speak Aboriginal English, but they are getting corrected within the school system. And I suppose, happily, they can still go home after school and code switch back to our blackfella talk, Aboriginal talk,
yes,
using English. But that's also, we're also under threat. On one hand, we're being sort of denied speaking our ancestors' language, but at the same time, currently, we're being sort of stopped from speaking our Aboriginal English, because what we do, that's why our people they weren't allowed to speak the language. They were forbidden to speak the language. So we had to create a language using non-facial expressions, hand signals, so as we couldn't be detected communicating in traditional ways.
So some of those hand signals are relatively contemporary, as in the last 200
absolutely.
Years.
Yeah, so all of our communities and our elders and youth today, we still communicate, and that's why we're still not understood properly in the mainstream today by government and society. But so where it's, but back to our ancestral languages, yes, I think most of the Victorian languages are regarded as on the extinction list, mm-hmm. on the International Languages Extinction List. So that's quite concerning for us as language practitioners.
Hence the need, of course, to bring the profile up of the languages that need to be retained and revitalised through something like this museum exhibition called River of Language. Here's another excerpt just to give you a sense of what it can sound like.
Pali Vrum Timinichi Nirala Bragala
Vicky Cousins, that's beautiful. I take it that's language from the saltwater people of
some
a language
of, some
group.
Some of it was, yeah, but some of it wasn't. Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is the thing about mixing these languages together for the exhibition, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. But I take it the sounds chosen there are deliberate.
Yeah.
Because they come from those language groups.
Yeah, saltwater and freshwater sounds.
Yeah.
Waves and that to talk, you know, to include whales and our whales down home and the eels, but also all that freshwater country.
So yeah. I can imagine that there's words in those First Nation languages from those parts of Australia which have no bearing whatsoever to someone's language group in Central Australia, because who needs a word for whale in Alice Springs?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, or snow.
Or maybe. Snow, yeah.
They probably haven't had snow for a while up there, I'd say.
No, I don't think it's been known, no. I'm just wondering, though, Brendan, maybe you can answer this for me. Despite the multiplicity of languages across the country, and I've read varying reports that there's anywhere between 120 and 700 languages still being retained. I don't know what figure to quite believe on this, but are there common words that pass through the country?
Oh, absolutely. There are words, particularly around names for body parts, so particularly our foot and jinang, or mingi, our eyes, or jindan, our nose. But so there are, I was watching a show the other night, it was about Gurumul, the singer, and talking about his Wawa. Wawa was his brother, and that's our name. Wawan means big brother in my language.
Oh, really?
So the similarities, and there was...
And he's from East Arnhem Land.
He's from East Arnhem Land. So,
yeah,
you know,
he's Gunditjmara.
He's,
no, no, he's not. He's Gumach.
Yeah.
So the similar, there are the key words and sounds that, and hence that's why we still retain our song lines our dreaming trails throughout the whole country, because that language is still a part of that, and that's where all of our connections are. Particularly down in Victoria, our languages are a part of language families, but we're all very closely related, although the dialects will change the further you get away.
Sure.
But there'll be those core words that still remain, that connect all our language groups together.
I find it fascinating to think that some of those common words are about parts of the body, because that's your sense of self within the country. Mm. And that, you know, as you travel the country or into other people's country, that remains the same.
Country is body.
Country is body.
So, yeah, so
this is important.
Your body parts and then your country is same words.
Right, and this
like
is
like for nose and hill, can be same.
The same,
yeah.
Across
or head,
all language groups.
No, in mine, I'm specifically talking
I see.
About.
Oh, right.
But broad brush strokes, yes. Language is body. Country is body.
So the features of your body are then replicated on the land.
Yeah.
Yes.
So nose and hill.
In my our dialects down home, yeah.
Right.
They correlate.
So,
but everything is about context, so it's how it's spoken and talked about and referenced, you know, whether it's in a story, a creation story, you know.
And this is why, and I was going to ask this question, it sounds really dumb, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and that is, why is language retention so important? I think you've half explained this, but
Yeah. Tell
us more.
Well, obvious to us is that identity and that belonging, but because language tells you who you are and where you belong and your place in the scheme of things. And so that's really important for us for that. It strengthens people and it's healing for us in that revitalization way, but it's that continuance, because it's that repository of knowledge, you know.
And it's
holds everything. It holds everything.
It holds everything. And it must be, you know, great to hear not only NAIDOC celebrating voice and treaty and truth this year, but also the fact that it's the UN International Year of Indigenous Language. So it's all coming together quite nicely. Brendan, you mentioned a point there that I just want to quickly come back to, and that is, you know, you've got the next generation of your mob, you know, wanting to get ahead in the world, find their place in a modern world while still retaining their cultural ties to the old people and the old ways and the languages that are part of that. Do you feel like there's enough of balance in their lives at the moment to keep those two sides alive?
Oh, absolutely no. I think the mainstream pressures on our people now is really impacting on our generations, particularly our young. The gap is widening. It's just so hard for our people to keep up with the mainstream, but also to keep our connections with our culture and our relationships and with our old people and our country. But what I'm seeing is, you know, with our languages, it's so important to our health. At the moment, I'm speaking to you in English, and it's actually a struggle. And it's a struggle for our people to communicate in the English dialect. Our way of communicating is with our language. That's what sounds better, that or the English. And for our people, that's why our people's health is in a bad way, because within our DNA, the way we've always, our people have spoken their language in their country reflects the environment. So, say for up my way, I live in a dry heat area in the Mallee, so I'm conserving the way that I'm communicating with down in Vicky's country. She lives in there's more rain and there's, you know, the moisture is different. So them people have evolved from those landscapes, but we've been hit with English and that's really hurt us.
Well, I think it's only incumbent upon wider Australia to come and experience and appreciate the wealth of languages that still survive and you want to keep revitalising. And River of Language at the Melbourne Museum is a case in point. It's been fantastic to have you in. Thanks very much for coming.
Thank you.
It's been great. Vicky Cousins is a prominent artist, Gunditj Mari Kire Woorong woman from the Western Districts of Victoria, and she's co-curator of the River of Language exhibition, which is at Melbourne Museum, along with Brendan Kennedy, who's a descendant of the Tati Tati Wadi Wadi and Mati Mati tribal lands and language groups. River of Language is on at the museum's Bundjalaka Aboriginal Cultural Centre until October 13th.